Good morning. Part two. I got to be very honest with you. I understand it got a little pinchy last week a little bit. She was pinching, not intentional, not for shock value, but I think it's time that we shake ourselves. We need to wake up. Proverbs said it this way, and by the way, when I did the three messages on the foundations in the month of January, I used part of these things you'll hear again because I was in the thread. But last week I used a word, and I'm going to use it in the four messages here. Proverbs 14:34 says this, righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Stop right there. Notice the difference there of the word use of nation and then the use of people. Now, I understand the concept when they're talking about a people like that, but I also want to present to you possibly at the same time that before you can have a nation, the sin in people is the big problem right there. Now, I can talk about people as people of the world, but I want to talk about you individual people right now. Here we are. Another statement you'll hear for 4 weeks. Jonathan Cahn made this statement. America has turned to other gods. We have profaned the sacred, and we have hallowed that which is profane. That's a word. Stand to your feet. Let's build on it. You know what we're going to say, because we're not going to profane the word. We're going to speak the word, and we're going to make an affirmation real strong and real loud this morning. Let's do it. Ready? This word is wise. It has everything to do with my life and my future. It is my first call, not my last resort. It is the foundation of my life. We get a little louder. Ready? This word is wise. It has everything to do with my life and my future. It is my first call, not my last resort. It is the foundation of my life. Be seated. If you doubt the Bible, if you doubt the word of God, and now it's popular to doubt the word of God, let me ask you a question. Almost 2,000 years ago, it was written that one day a one-world government would try to get you to mark your hand for purchases. Barcodes, possibly. But we're talking about chips right now. Have you seen some of the things in the news right now? Somebody walked right up and they lay their hand on that thing. They know who you are. They know what you bought. They know where you live. We know where your grandma lives. They know everything about you right now. That's nuts. But people will sell out for convenience. They'll sell their birthright for the hunger of their stomach for a moment. If you doubt the Bible, 2,000 years ago it was written that this would happen one day, that they would try to mark your hand for purchases. You know, now might be a good time to start taking the word seriously. Now might be a good time to take the gospel seriously. Let me just make this statement to you. The world is about to find out very, very soon that the Bible isn't just a storybook. The Bible is not a storybook. Oh, they tell stories of our covenant and the growth, where we came from. But it's true with anything that tries to take over, they will try to do away with your natural history and your spiritual history and your family history. They will try that. And from here, the reality check continues. I opened up by saying last week this statement. I've given warnings for many, many years, wake-up warnings, almost to the point that I felt like a spiritual Paul Revere. And it reminds me of Isaiah 62, where the Word of God says, I have posted watchmen on your walls, O Jerusalem. They will never be silent day or night. And I have to tell you right now, if we've lived in a la-la land spirit right now, and about Christian America and how wonderful that is, I need to tell you the concept and the hope for a Christian nation is only dangling and hanging by a thread right now. So here's the biblical principle. If it says in Proverbs, righteousness exalts a nation, the biblical premise would be this. Then unrighteousness destroys a nation. You got it? when you want to add color and you're studying and you're reading and you want to know a little more, take a statement that the scripture makes, flip it upside down there. Flip it upside down and say, well, if it says this, could I say this? And I think you can do that right there. So if righteousness exalts a nation, as it says in Proverbs 14, I can stand on firm footing and tell you that unrighteousness can destroy a nation. Oh, I'm full of faith. I'm brimming with faith. I'm an optimist by heart. But I'm here to tell you evil is in charge. And let me just stop right here. Do not make this political. I've had people paint me with that for years. And it's so far from the truth. And even last week, even the different things I was hearing there. Let me just tell you something. As covenant people of God, see, because the idea is to separate us and to divide us. And if they can divide us, if they can distract us, they can destroy us. And instead of bringing together, and it's in the church today, and if we start it with, you want to take care of the world, start with the division that's in a church there. There's going to be a lot of things in the natural as people. We don't agree on some things, but there is a common covenant thing that we come under right now. You should at this point be way past Republican. You should be way past Democrat. You should be way past conservative and liberal. We are fighting straight up evil. It's a story of evil. And if it destroys us, it's not good. Do we have to, should we have manners? Yes, we should. Should we love? The nation is crumbling. Can we at least agree at that spot? Can we agree there? But why don't people on all sides acknowledge it? Now, I'm going to say some things that are going on right now, and all I'm going to do is the reporting aspect of it. Feel free to check any of that. But I want to tell you, my question is, why can't people even look at something and say, hey, that's evil? I talked about last week the evil going for our children. Going for our children right now. Just I kind of was talking last week. How come you never see a drag queen story time in an old folks home? They want to do it for children. Can we at least agree that evil is loose? Let's start. Can we start there together? Could that be our common ground? Could our common ground be this word is wise? Could our common ground be righteousness exalts a nation, but unrighteousness will destroy a nation? Why can't we do it? And I thought about it for hours. I've been thinking about it for weeks. It's because we're too steeped in our traditions. We all have our traditions. We're too steeped in our comfort. We're too steeped in our culture. We're too steeped in fear. We're too steeped in covetousness. Now, we spent a long time on the Ten Commandments, but I think you could take all the commandments, and we need every one of them, but I think if you took the number one commandment and the last commandment, you could wrap that sucker up right there. And what is the first commandment? You shall what? There is no other gods before me. No other gods. Start there. Start there. And then dealing with man as it splits in the middle of it, the very last thing, thou shalt not what? Covet. Thou shalt not covet. Don't covet anybody's car, anybody's husband, anybody else. Don't covet the money so much that you're driven by those things. Don't covet comfort so much. And we're too steeped in tradition, culture, comfort, covetousness. We're steeped in fear even. We're paralyzed. And at this very same time, and we saw this happen over the last 2 or 3 years, and you're seeing it. I'm going to talk maybe a little more next week about the concept of what they're doing by using buzzwords right now, because you don't want to be called these things. You know, and there is an intimidation factor to it, and we're too intimidated at times to admit the real source right now. We're seeing problems in the world today on all levels. One of the things is the intentional breakdown of a home situation. What a mom should look like, what a dad should look like, the order there that is there. And if you can destroy that, you can destroy everything else from that viewpoint right now. And even though we weren't generating the power of God in our mouth all the time, most of us were raised in an environment that we had to be some old lady down the street and you're doing something and they'd scream, who's your mama? Who's your daddy? And we were respectfully, we would have to listen to those things. You don't see that anymore. Some of the people today were raised in, sweetheart, if you stop crying, I'll get you something. But most of us were raised, and if you don't stop crying, I'm going to give you something to cry about. How many of you ever heard that? How many of you ever heard that right now? That's where we are right now. We're too intimidated to admit the source. Why? Because it might lead to something that we can no longer ignore. Now think of that. There are a lot of people out there that are red-faced on both sides, and there's multi-sides in things. And they're really red-faced, but they do not want to admit, they do not want to, you're a hater, man. You're a hater. You're an awful, nobody wants to be called that right now. We saw doctors that knew the truth a few years ago and were afraid because they were intimidated because they didn't want to be called a hater, and their businesses were removed. We live in a time right now where that's where it's going. Too intimidated to admit the real truth. So what's the truth? You ready for it? This, get your pencil out. This is great. You want the truth? I'm about to give it to you. It's the hold of spiritual wickedness in high places. Not just in Congress, not just in the UN, not just in Davos. It's not in those other places right there. It's not in places that are too secret to even tell you about. It's not even in places where agencies have set up a sting operation on every famous or political person and entrapped them and have them. They own them right now. And yet not one of them has suffered the consequence. Something's really kind of wrong right there. The truth is, it's the hold of spiritual wickedness in high places. And they're very good people because they don't want to be called a hater. They don't want to be intimidated. They don't want to lose their business. They're now raising young people and children and grandchildren now who've been indoctrinated for the last 20 years. And the things that you held true, you get intimidated. The church now is even at a point where they're living in a concept of spiritual cognitive dissonance. They're spiritual, but what happens is they know this is not right, but they're able to make it. You know, we can preach against things, but when it happens to us, well, you know. And that's in the world. That's everywhere. But the spiritual cognitive dissonance, we know what the word says. Where do you pull this out, man? Where are you saying all this? Paul gave this to me in Ephesians 6. And he made it really, really clear that it wasn't those things exactly that we see. It's things we can't see. He said, because we wrestle not against flesh and blood. In other words, don't let that distract you. It's very easy for us to see something. Well, that's not good. That's not good. That's not good. It's a do not be distracted. But we are wrestling and we're struggling against principalities, against powers. Watch this, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. That means some living and breathing humans, but notice a little bit deeper, and against spiritual wickedness in the highest of places. We're looking at a point in time right now because of the fear and the intimidation that people that actually have a little bit of common sense, or so we thought, look right at it and look you in the eye and say, there's nothing, that's you, you've got that, you're so wrong. If you really knew me, you'd be proud of how good I'm doing in my head. Let's read it in the New Living. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies. Okay, we have a tendency to get mad at the people. We are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against the evil rulers and the authorities in the unseen world, against the mighty powers in this dark world. Is the world dark? And against evil spirits in the heavenly places. That is where this is all coming from. When you ask yourself, how do they dream this up? What kind of depraved mind can dream these things up right now? What kind of person can do that? Mr. Gates right now is trying to do a thing to prescribe to a deal that if you publish anything that goes against the common word, that you will be isolated right now. He's crazy. He's a nut. Goldfinger and Blofeld from the Bond novels are cartoonish, and they look at him and say, Gates is way too crazy for me. We look at this stuff, we don't understand. How do they dream this up? Many of those who are in charge right now of the World Economic Forum, some people got uncomfortable when I started mentioning these, the World Health Organization, the UN, and hell itself have followed many theories that are against God. Evil things. I mentioned something last week that many hadn't even heard about. Thought I was way out left field. The concept in the early 60s that these two guys came together and they wrote a what was called a political strategy, and the political strategy was a political theory that advised people to crash the system in order to take over, download a country, flood them with impossible demands, again distractions and things taking away, massive unpayable national debt. You got it. You'll never pay that debt. Sweetie Pie right there will never pay the debt. Little Celeste, who lives in Virginia, is born with a debt she will never pay. That's all part of it. A manufactured scam to think that humans can ride a bike and control the weather. When there's one nation around the world that does more than all the rest of the world combined, but you can't say that because you're intimidated or you're a hater. Where's that? Where's this coming from? This may be my last week here, so I'm going out with a flourish. When you're looking down south of what's going on right now, the idea is to push America into such a crisis, an economic collapse. And without shame, the leaders of New York, the leaders of other states are saying, well, maybe we shouldn't be doing this. Duh, a third grader could have told you that. But again, you see this, but when you're dealing with depravity and intimidation and wickedness in high places, I'm going to tell you right now, spiritual wickedness is in charge right now of this earth. And it's only the people of God that are living here right now that are holding it together. That strategy I was telling you about is a commonly prescribed strategy called the Cloward-Piven strategy. Cloward-Piven strategy. You can do a little work on that. And you overload the system with so many, and I called it whack-a-mole. And you got so many things, you do this, boom, boom, boom. You're running around right now. I can hear some people, well, you really should be preaching the gospel. I'm giving you the gospel. And then what happens is they create false flag events. That's what some people call them. To get the fear in people higher. And they will sacrifice freedom. They will sacrifice their movement. They will sacrifice claiming they're going to get greater security. But in the end, they will end up losing both. Cloward-Piven is one thing. The ideology of Saul Alinsky, that's another day. There's another concept called the Malthusian theories, Robert Malthus. You know what that's about? You know what that's about? That's about the concept of thinning the herd, intentionally thinning the herd, intentionally doing things. And if you read the Agenda 2030 for the World Economic Forum, you're going to see the population reduction that they want to do. They'll give you anything. You know what you referred to? Useless eaters. That's the actual use of word for them. We got to get rid of useless eaters in the world. That's a Malthusian idea. More about that later on. Other manifestations, but I call them one thing, spiritual wickedness. Consider this. They really don't care about the people. People are so, I don't want to think they're that dumb, but they're that bound. They're that blind. Because they don't want to be called a hater. They don't want to be a Christian nationalist. Now, come on, you guys. Use your brains. There's nothing in the scripture that I'm to take a nation over and tell you that if you don't do this church, if you don't pray this prayer, if you don't bow here right now, that you're going to be ostracized. But that's what they want to do right now. And they will keep using these words, you'll hear more and more, to create a false flag mindset. The Agenda 2030, they want to get rid of at least 30% of people who they refer to as useless eaters. How will they do that? Well, they work on your food supply, first off. Last week when you drove home, there was another chicken farm that burned down. Do a little research on how many chicken farms are burning down right now. How many chicken farms are burning down right now? What's it cost to buy wings right now? It's kind of gone up. They're burning those farms. That is not an accident. That's not an accident right now. To create a crisis, to create fear. And if they can't give it to you in your arm, they're going to inject your cows, which will be in your milk and in your food. They will inject your chickens. They will inject that, and they will grow that. Just fly. Look out here in the morning and see what they're spraying. They're not even ashamed of it anymore. They are trying to tinker with things. When Gates says, you know, I'm trying to work on a deal right now that will block the sun. They swoop in to help. The disruption of food supply, it is intentional, but yet if you say it, they want to make you crazy. Just read it. And if we refuse what they want us to do, they'll spray your crop, they'll poison your water, they'll spray your skies. Next week I'll talk about the objective of thinning the herd. Let's talk about, you want to help people? Look at the homeless people. We're not doing enough for homeless people. We're not doing enough for those people. I'm serious. We're not doing enough for people who are mentally ill. Walking this, we're not doing enough for veterans who have given their lives, and they came back from foolishness, and their minds are not right anymore. They've lost their family. They don't care about the people there, because that keeps growing. They don't care about the people because your streets are crumbling, because the infrastructure is falling apart, and the money's not been sent for things like that. Imagine, do you know what I could do? Do you know what we could do? You know what you could do with, listen to this number. $114 billion. That's nine zeros after 114. $114 billion. What could I do to help the homeless veterans? What could I help the children that need early education? What could I do to help people that need the things? What could I do with the widows and the orphans? What could I do with an infrastructure to make life easier for people to move back and forth? No, the idea is to keep them waiting for that one thing so they will be beholding and they'll be dutiful. Imagine what I can do with that. But spiritual wickedness in high places has sent $114 billion to another country out of this world. Just use your head. But I think it was Ben Franklin said, common sense isn't common anymore. $114 billion. What could we do to help our homeless people? What could we help people who need assistance in food? Imagine what we could do. We could be the city set on the hill. But spiritual wickedness blocks this, and it's never going to happen. And I told you, it's not going to be either side. Neither side's going to do it. So don't think I'm beating the drum. They're not going to do it. They're not going to do it. They're beholden to spiritual wickedness in high places. We're weekly being invaded by over 8,000 men of fighting age. Don't show me the poor women and the children there, because it's men of fight. Do you know right now? Do you know right now that those who are coming here as of today outnumber our military 6-1? 6-1. What are we seeing? Spiritual wickedness in high places. I talked to you about helping people that need some help right now. The average person getting an assistance check from America, and the people have worked, they deserve what they work for, but they've spent it all. The average check is probably about $1,200 a month right now. But they tell me right now, if you come over here, you're going to get $3,900 a month. Is that wicked? The Bible says, well, we shouldn't be a country. You understand, right now what's going on at the UN, I'm going to mention this next week. There's a charter that some states have already signed that says that if the World Economic Forum and the UN and the World Health Organization come together, their sanctions and their restrictions of movement in every city, they should be able to enact it. That's going on right now. And it takes it out of the hands of a sovereign government, a sovereign nation. Each nation should be able to do those things. Something's wrong, y'all. We're driven, we're distracted, our minds refuse to admit the obvious. The breakdown of humans that God wants us to be. I saw a TED Talk video. One of them was TED Talk and one was another similar type research thing. The theme for one of them says we must make a decision to overcome our feelings about pedophiles. The exact quote from a lady on one of the lectures. We must treat them with the same respect we treat others. Because pedophiles are people who've not chosen their sexuality. The next line was this: we should accept pedophilia as a sexual preference. I saw it. Last week, St. Patrick's Cathedral, what a beautiful place that is. I kind of like to watch Cardinal Dolan. I think he's kind of cool. He's a bad dude. He's tough. And he wasn't really told what was going on there, but they had a funeral service 2 weeks ago in St. Patrick's Cathedral for a drag queen who was an atheist, a trans sex worker named Cecilia Gentile. In the PBS article, it said a renowned transgender activist. That was in the PBS line. There was a poster picture on the altar with the words whore written across of it in the deal. They took Ave Maria and they rewrote it to include her name. Cardinal Dolan, they were duped. They didn't know what was going on. They've since come forth roaring, God love them. Yeah, I think they're right. He really gets us, doesn't he? He really gets us. Michael Brown said Jesus did not practice affirmational inclusion, meeting sinners where they were and affirming them in their sin. No, he clearly said if you might be attracted to a baby, to a dog, to anything pervertous like that, he said go and don't do it again. Sin no more, walk away. What we see here is not though the core problem. I've thrown some things at you because to show you they've got you looking in different directions. This isn't the core problem. They are merely byproducts of a society that will shake its fist in God's face. And when wickedness is in charge, I just want you to know something right now. There is a higher power in charge. There's a higher power that doesn't. It's my understanding that part of my watchman job is to say this: national sins will bring national judgment. That's where we are. Last week, we saw the story of Sodom and Gomorrah there. We know that what was going on back and forth with Abraham and with Lot. Lord, you know, if the angels came down and they said, you know, something's really not good here. And he says, Abraham, tell your people, to your relatives, get out of there. And that's when they went, God, if I can find 50. God, if I can find 20, 10. And you went through that whole thing. And remember, they walked out there. And God destroyed that land. Now, he saved that remnant there. And even the one who, the wife, it said she looked back. And that wasn't just a look over her shoulder. As a little kid, I used to think that. Because I'm thinking, I want to look back and see the explosion. No, that's not it. When it says she looked back, the deeper thing, she looked back with a longing gaze. I wish I'm going to miss that so much. It was so good. And there's a difference between observing something and rolling in something and letting that be a part of us right now. We're living in a reproduction of that time in our world today. Billy Graham said it this way: if God doesn't bring judgment upon America, he will have to go back and apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. Thank you, good night. The shiny, the sleight of hand, the misdirection had captured them. As C.S. Lewis said in his writing of The Abolition of Man, hoping for safety, we have fallen for the magician's bargain. Now you remember over and over during the foundation in Proverbs 14, I read the word that said there's a way that seems right unto a man. You remember that? I read that over and over. There's a way that seems right unto a man, but the end is death and destruction. In that same chapter, if you move down to the 33rd verse, and I'm going to connect with what I read just a moment ago. Watch this. Verse 33 in Proverbs 14. Wisdom rests in the heart of him who has understanding. You see that right there? Wisdom will rest in the heart of him who has understanding. But what is in the heart of fools is made known. Okay? Now, after you have that set up, here's where you see the verse I opened with a moment ago. 34. So righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. But I told you, evil is in charge, but there's a higher world, there's a higher law, there's a higher order, there's a higher one in charge of going on. Because the next statement is, verse 35, and I said it this way, but remember this, the king's favor is toward a wise servant, but his wrath is against him who causes shame. There it is. There it is. There it is. The question is, what kind of wisdom will you walk in? What kind of wisdom will we live in? Today, people are being conned and people are being blind. Therefore, they will be imprisoned for the rest of their lives. And I mean literally, and I also mean figuratively and spiritually. I refer to James. I love his writing so much. But I see what I'm going to read in James, a very close parallel. In fact, it's probably like a New Testament version of the 14th chapter of Proverbs of what I read here. There are less words, but equally as powerful regarding the wisdom that we need to hear. James 3, verse 13. Who is wise and understanding among you? So let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. Christians need to kind of learn that. They're like steamrollers sometimes. They don't use their brains. But we walk in wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts. Remember when I read that thing? What was in the heart of the fool will be revealed. Remember that? Proverbs 14. In your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. By the way, truth, here's the problem right now. Truth is always a disruptor. Truth is always a disruptor. That's why you can tell a lie all day and they'll print it and they'll put it on MSNBC right now. Little sweetheart on MSNBC from Politico this week said, can you believe that there are people in our world today that actually believe their rights come from God and not from Congress? You remember the cartoon, the Looney Tune cartoon where the dog's barking at Foghorn, the big chicken, the big... And he goes up, and the dog's on the chain, and he picks up the dog's tail, and he takes a 2x4. And goes, that's kind of what some of these people need right now if you were raised on cartoons. In fact, somebody said my extent of opera music came through Bugs Bunny cartoons. The Barber of Seville. Truth is always a disruptor. Remember, so walk in wisdom? Okay, 15. This wisdom does not descend from above. It is earthly. It is sensual. By the way, the New Living word right there says it is unscriptural. Got it? And it is demonic. This is so demonic. What are we talking about? The reality check. For where you will see envy and self-seeking or selfish ambition, you got that all over. Wherever you see this, you're going to see confusion. And the New Living Word says you will see disorder. Are you seeing disorder? You're seeing it everywhere. Disorder and every evil thing. I just gave you five things looking at all these different things. But it is all under one umbrella. And he delineates the difference. This wisdom, but the wisdom that is from above. In other words, which comes from heaven. Which comes from the Spirit of God, is pure. Pure first, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy, good fruits without partiality or without hypocrisy. Verse 18, now, that's a time word. I mean, here we go. It's establishing territory. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. The NIV says, peacemakers who sow in peace will reap a harvest of righteousness. So we can even be people of peace when it's going crazy. The question was, who's wise and understanding? The one who is tuned in, the one who is alert in the word. Notice there were three words that were used in James's writing. Three words about the wisdom of hell: earthly, sensual, demonic. Said a better way, I don't have time today because we'll come back. Another three. Said better, the world, the flesh, the devil. Three enemies of the nature of God right there. And our discernment must be tuned in to these three levels of attack. Here's how it comes first. Before the fall of an individual, a family, or a nation, we have to understand that. It's here first. It's wrapped in a familiar word that we know. And the familiar word is in 1 John chapter 2. Do not love the things of the world. Is that what happened when Lot's wife looked back? Do not love the things of this world. Anyone who loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, those three things, the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life, that's called the trifecta of sin. You want the trifecta of sin? The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life. It's not of the Father, but the world. And the world is going to be passing away in the lust of it. But he who does the will of God. Hey, you want a good character trait? Bingo. But he who does the will of God abides forever. I say it this way. The compounding effect of individual sin does lead to national sin. The three thoughts, the three techniques, the three flesh impulses. More next week. We first saw this thread in the garden with the very first Adam. We saw it again in the desert with the second Adam. You know who that was. We can clearly see it in the temptation of Jesus Christ in the desert. To illustrate what we're dealing with and how God responds to an unrighteous land, here's another story real quick. I read something, it was like Thursday, and my framing was, you know, I'm trying to get my framing together in my layout. But I read something, and I literally, I promise you, I had one of those take your breath away moments. Literally, I just went, I mean, I came up off the chair a little bit. I've never had something like that. And it just, it hit me. I'll tell you what it was next week. There's another story in the New Testament about some messed up nations and three men. Been reading some of the, and three men. I thought about I could call the message next week, three men and a devil. Ezekiel 14 says it this way in verse 12. The word of the Lord came to me again saying this, son of man, when a land sins against me by persistent unfaithfulness, I will stretch out my hand against it. Now watch this. You talk about what's going on right now. I will cut off its bread. I'll send famine on it. I'll cut off man and beast from it. And he's so ticked off. He's so angry at what's going on right now. And even if he went for Mount Rushmore, God is saying, and even if these three men, and he mentioned Noah, Daniel, Job, and even if they were in it, I'd only pull them out and I'd blow up the rest. He's prophetically there predicting the future that will be written in the new covenant about the world, about the flesh, the devil, three things. In referring to these three covenant men of God, Ezekiel and God are telling a story that only covenant people can grasp. I hope you can do that today. So let me bring a little insight. All three of these men will represent a specific challenge. All three men were in a hellish upheaval in their nation, in their land at the time. But notice this, all three will remain faithful, and God did something special. Next week, we pick up with this story. The reality check will continue. So what do I say to you? Do not be discouraged. You serve a triune God. You serve not the world, the flesh, but the God the Father, Jesus, his Son, and the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. You've got a three that you can walk with right now. So in the meantime, until next week, don't be afraid to look out the window. Don't be afraid to get out right now because it's a triumphant message. In the meantime, I want to leave you with from the English Book of Common Prayer of the 1500s. I want to pray a prayer on you right now. I want to pray what is called a keeping prayer. Listen to this. This is from the English. From all deceits of the world, the flesh, and the devil, good Lord, deliver us. We'll talk about that next week. Let's all stand together right now.